B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia and points up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Really excited right now to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV and talk with Ian Harditz. MB Fantasy Life, the Fantasy Life website, a true fantasy football expert. Ian, thank you for making time for us, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me on, man. I've actually started off my morning by trading for Bill Crosby-Mara on one of my dynasties.
Let's go.
All right.
So you're buying Bill, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I had someone offer me just, you know, I don't have to send a late third-round pick in a future draft. So at that price, man, I am down there for it. But, hey, end of the day, certainly seems like you guys and the entire beat have sent out plenty of smoke to the fire that he could be the next big thing. Sure, seems like Brian Robinson would still be in town if the team wasn't thinking the same. So not going to get too carried away. I've been in some drafts where I've seen him go round five. Maybe not quite the price for me. But once you do get into that RB3 range, the Tyrann Tracy's of the world, some of these Steelers running backs, I think that's a nice spot for him.
Yeah, for sure. As far as from a fantasy perspective, you know, I think Washington had some real questions during the Terry McLaurin holdout, but now that's settled. How do you feel about the Commanders' offense just from a fantasy perspective, not even wins and losses?
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel fantastic about it. For all the concerns that we had about the Cliff Kingsbury system and the lack of, you know, moving the receivers around and all the RPOs, well, it turns out when you got Jaden Daniels running it, good things are going to happen. So real-life fantasy, again, I don't think you need more than a few extra fingers on that second hand to count the number of units that you would rather be involved with. So really just don't have much of a history of high-volume dual-threat quarterbacks like Daniels busting in fantasy. So even a potential slight decrease in the passing production department, she should still be fine in fantasy land. But even then, guys, I mean, Zach Ertz had 16 targets in the NFC Championship game last year. All due respect to old man Ertz, you know, he was the tight end 10 in his own right. But really adding Deebo Samuel there, if he can be even 90% of that guy we saw in San Fran, could help open up those underneath fields. So really, again, happy they got something done with Terry McLaurin. Obviously would have been a big hole in the outside without him. So as things stand, guys, again, you know, maybe not quite the Bengals in terms of being the league's most fantasy-friendly offense, in my opinion, but they are certainly up there.
Are there any other players other than like a Terry McLaurin or Jaden Daniels that you're on the Commanders that you think you'll look at?
Yeah, again, I think Deebo Samuel right now is one of these guys being priced a little bit closer to his floor than his ceiling, particularly with the run out and the way things have happened. There are a lot of available targets in that offense, given the departures of guys like Diami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, and among others. So also, when you do remove Brian Robinson from the equation, it makes me a little bit more optimistic that we could see Deebo get back into more of that running back role that obviously he did such great things with in San Fran. So I know, last year wasn't pretty, but this dude was hospitalized for 2 games around week 6 with a really bad case of pneumonia. Also was playing through some other injuries. So when you do look at the before and after splits, Deebo really was usually his old former baller self during the first month and a half or so of the season. So I'd say Deebo, again, around that wide receiver 3, you know, high-end wide receiver 4 range is very much in play. And in addition to Bill Crosby Merritt, man, I don't want to sleep on Austin Eckler. They were willing to lean on him for 70% plus snaps in multiple games when Brian Robinson was sidelined. And as much as Eckler, okay, isn't going to be this 20 carry per game guy or anything, he never was in Los Angeles, even when he was breaking enough fantasy football, putting up legit RB1 overall season. So he's one of these guys priced really alongside the Tyler Allgeiers, the Trey Bensons, these true handcuffs of the world, where at the end of the day, we could be looking at a weekly workload consisting of something around 12 to 15 combined carries and targets. You can do a lot worse than, again, the double-digit rounds of his best, particularly if you spent the earlier rounds loading up a wide receiver.
Yeah, man, Eckler, they didn't play him at all in preseason, but when we've seen him at camp, he looks, I mean, that dude keeps himself in elite shape, and he looks, you know, explosive. Like, his game looks to be all the way there. The head injuries are a concern, but, like, I mean, if you look at his game logs last year, like the first 6-8 weeks of the season, if you have, like, a deeper league with a flex position, like, he could help you. Talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give Ian a follow at iHarditz, iHARTITZ. A ton of good information on this Twitter profile. I'm going to hit that button right now. Let's zoom out from the Commanders. I feel like considering the year Saquon had last year, and I know there's questions about the usage, but, like, is there a definitive number one pick if you're in a standard league? Maybe it's a half-point PPR, you know, nothing crazy, not like four receiver starts, just like kind of a regular home league. Do you have a consensus number one pick, or is it more like a bunch of good guys at the top?
I do think Ja'Marr Chase deserves the benefit of the doubt, because really with any wide receiver, we're all kind of trying to evaluate them on some way, shape, or form the same four factors. How talented are they? What's their sort of volume ceiling? How good is their quarterback? And then do we have any age or injury concerns? And again, he just passes really each one of those tests with flying colors. So at running back, it's a situation where, yeah, Saquon, everything he did last year was amazing. That said, you're coming off a season where, including the playoffs, there were 480 touches. And as great as that year was, we did still see at least somewhat of a suppressed ceiling with, again, Jalen Hurts taking every single touchdown once they get down to the one-yard line. Bijan Robinson is a guy where the Falcons' offensive line has already lost multiple key guys from last year. And, you know, he's not up in the, you know, age department the same way Saquon is. But that said, 365 touches in his own right. It's a situation where, again, these running backs, it is tough for them to piece together multiple big-time volume seasons like that. And then Jahmyr Gibbs very well may be the best running back in the NFL, but he does have, you know, his friendly thunder, what are they calling them, knuckles, I guess, is the Sonic Knuckles thing going on in Detroit. David Montgomery obviously going to be plenty involved as well. So again, at top of the draft, we're talking about top five overall players. It's not like you can go too wrong at the end of the day. Fantasy football is supposed to be fun, but Ja'Marr Chase for me just really has less questions than anyone.
So shy away from the running backs that basically have a sidekick that they'd like to put in once they get down inside the five-yard line, or the quarterback that is always running quarterback sneak.
Yeah, right. I mean, it is a situation where, dude, and it is crazy how much we see it in Philly and then in Buffalo, because I was looking at just fantasy points these quarterbacks get on carries inside the five-yard line, which basically more times than not are these QB sneaks. I mean, these last 2 years, Hurts has over 140. Josh Allen has about 98, and no other quarterback is even within 50 points of that. So It really is a difference in these dual threat guys. And, you know, Jaden was one of these dudes that was a little bit in between the Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts versus the Lamar Jacksons of the world, who really don't get any. But I would just stress that, again, those running backs in Philly and Buffalo going to have a little bit tougher time around the goal line than, say, your Derrick Henrys and perhaps, you know, Bill Crosby Merritt of the world.
A question for me is, obviously this Micah Parsons trade is the biggest thing in the NFL right now. What, if any, fantasy impact does that make? I mean, maybe the Green Bay defense is a little better, but that's pretty far down the list. Does that impact CeeDee Lamb? Like, does that make any impact on Dak or George Pickens, like folks that people are excited for from a fantasy perspective in Dallas?
Yeah, I think the latter guy you mentioned, George Pickens, is the big-time winner here. And he was someone we were already pretty high on over at Fantasy Life, which, by the way, check out for all your ranking and projection needs ahead of draft weekend. Good luck to everybody there. But, yeah, honestly, I mean, I was already starting to run with the comp that the Cowboys could be this NFC version of the Bengals, okay? We do have Dak Prescott, who, no, I don't think is as good as Joe Burrow, but the man was playing at a legit MVP level as recently as 2023. And you look at that running back room, headlined by Javonte Williams somehow in the year 2025, and it would just make sense that they are going to keep their foot on the gas in the passing game with a group that, again, is now fairly condensed around CeeDee Lamb and then George Pickens. So that defense was already not exactly great. I mean, they finished 31st in scoring last year, even with Micah Parsons involved for most of the season. So at this point in time, if you want to call them the worst group in the league, particularly with Overshown still working his way back and Trayvon Diggs not exactly 100% either, you know, I would not be against that. So, end of the day, I think this Cowboys group could kind of resemble what we saw in the early parts of 2020 before Dak had that horrific broken ankle where, again, every single game's 35-34, 38-35. Probably not going to be great viewing experiences for Cowboys fans, but for all of us red zone viewers and hopefully fantasy managers of the passing game, I think we could be seeing some weekly fireworks.
For sure. Are there any rookies in this class you really like? I thought it was pretty interesting that the Panthers aren't very good, but from a fantasy perspective, Thielen got hot last year and helped me win a title.
He's gone.
Yeah, they trade away Thielen. Like, are they that all in on Tet McMillan down there? Like, are rookies around the league that you think really could jump off the page this year?
Yeah, honestly, I'm happy you shouted out Tedrell McMillan, because based on what I've seen just with the ADPs going on with a lot of people's home sites, and I play on all these, you know, too, ESPN, Yahoo, and Sleeper, there really isn't a bigger difference in where we're seeing someone go on the bigger money buy-in sites, you know, that the higher stakes tournaments, than Tetero McMillan versus Home League. I mean, this dude is available generally between round 6 through 8. He is an auto smash for me again if we can get him at that price point. Really, that is the sweet spot that I would advise everyone to be trying to get your wide receivers in. Rounds 5 through about 9, guys like George Pickens, Calvin Ridley, Travis Hunter, another rookie, T-Mac amongst others. I mean, Roma Dunze, Debo Samuel even. Like, there ends up being a drop-off around round 10, which is fine. That's when we can go back to quarterback or start getting our handcuff running backs anyway. So I would say Tetero McMillan, Travis Hunter at the top of the wide receiver ranking, deservedly so for the rookies. And then running back, obviously, Ashton Gentry is going to be going round 1, maybe early round 2 in your drafts. Omarion Hampton not too far behind him, but guys, I am also buying into the hype for Ohio State RB Travion Henderson. Vermonte Stevenson is going to be involved. We've seen Josh McDaniels and those Patriots backfields be a little bit annoying over the years in fantasy land, but just everything Henderson can do as a receiver on an offense that, let's face it, outside of old man Stephon Diggs, doesn't exactly have a clear-cut number one target. I just think there's a great chance for Henderson to have this Devon Achane, maybe even Alvin Kamara-esque rookie season where, no, he's not pushing for 250 carries, but hey, if you're playing the league with full PPR, man, those receptions add up fast. And just over the past 10 years, man, 53% of running backs to catch at least 50 passes have ended up turning in top 12 seasons. So Travion Henderson, if he is there in round 4 for you, I think he's a great click because, man, more drafts that I can, again, exit those first 4 rounds with at least 2 running backs, the better, because then I can really sink my teeth in those wide receiver values.
Tight ends catch as many passes as some of the receivers these days. You go back to you look at any of the tight ends that you want to pick high or not?
Yeah, so I think there's a clear-cut big three, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, and George Kittle. And, hey, if you want to just call them the 3 best tight ends in the league, I don't think you're going to have anyone arguing with you. The problem is everyone knows that, so accordingly you're going to have to use top 3 or a top 4 round pick to get those guys, which, hey, if you look at the wide receivers and the running backs in those tiers, I don't think it's an egregious move at all. But I would just advise people that if you miss out, again, on those big three, Bowers, McBride, and Kittle, don't be afraid to really wait it out, because almost similar to quarterback guys, once we get past that clear-cut top tier, it does start to flatten out a bit to the point where I don't really want to be spending a round 5 or 6 pick on Sam Laporta or TJ Hawkinson when I can either get a baller rookie like Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland literally 3 or 4 rounds later, or even someone like Mark Andrews or David Njoku, who's just kind of the more boring veteran, if you will, that people might be forgetting about. So Andrews really is an interesting one, too, because we've obviously seen him do such big things in the past in fantasy land. Right now, Isaiah Likely is expecting to miss some time with that foot injury. And just to give Andrews a little bit of credit, as much as last year was a little bit of a step down, scored a career-high 11 touchdowns, and we should give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt after having that August car crash that kept him out of practice for a bit. So I do think, again, waiting on the tight end position and just being willing to take one of Andrews, you know, Tyler Warren, maybe even Tucker Kraft late, makes a bit more sense than trying to overpay for them in the middle rounds when there's still some really good wide receivers on the board.
It's funny, two of the rookies you've mentioned, Travion Henderson, B, we got to watch him in person in those joint practices in that preseason game. He looked really good. And then Tyler Warren is a kid I got to know during the combine process. I like both those rookies to like be immediate impact, just kind of to your point, Ian. As I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, you probably have the actual data. I think like the next 5 days now through Wednesday are peak home league draft season. And if you can, I'm reading on your Fantasy Life website kind of your position by position strategy. I play in Yahoo League, so I'm looking at that. Mm-hmm. It's really cool how you divide it up by the different websites. But your thoughts on the quarterback position, how people should attack it?
Yeah, honestly, it's pretty similar to what I was talking about with tight ends. Kind of like taking a page out of Ricky Bobby's playbook. First or last, if you want to think about it more like a barbell, that's fine too. But if you are going to be using an early round pick on it, let's use it on a complete difference-making dual threat alien, okay? I'm talking about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, your very own Jaden Daniels, and I also would include Jalen Hurts in that. So we're all in different leagues. Some of them, if you have 5 or 6 point passing touchdowns, I can wrap my mind around Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes early. Also, if you have multiple quarterbacks in your super flex league, yes, okay, you should be spending early. But guys, if I get into round 4, round 5, and those big 4, again, dual threat rushing volume leads are gone, I am more than fine waiting until round 10 plus to get a quarterback, because in a lot of these one quarterback leagues, your league mates aren't even going to take a second one in the first place. And you would just be amazed, guys, how many times I'm sitting there around 13 or 14, and you still see the Caleb Williams, the Drake Mays, the Brock Purdy's of the world, where, yeah, I understand ranking them outside the top 12 relative to Bo Nix and Baker Mayfield and guys like that, but I just don't think the difference in overall rounds, again, going three, four, five rounds later sometimes, is quite worth the difference in projections there. So, again, if you want to pay early, that's fine. But when I've been trying to help my friends out throughout this draft season, I just know a lot of people get to round seven. You have your running backs and wide receivers already, and you think, okay, I might as well go ahead and fill out that starting lineup right now and draft a quarterback I like. I'm telling you, wait, because once you get in those double-digit rounds, you're not going to see running backs and wide receivers you like anymore. It's better to already have five or six on the squad by then, and that's when you can sink your teeth into some quarterbacks that, again, still have plenty of upside.
Talking with Ian Harditz from FantasyLife.com. You can check him out at the website FantasyLife.com. You can give him a follow at iHarditz on Twitter. So it's a home league, 12 teams. You know, snake draft, the usual. What do you have to have through the first four rounds? Do you just go all wide receiver, running back, or who are the guys you would change that for?
I would prefer, like, my favorite builds, I have two, maybe even sometimes three running backs inside the first four rounds. So I am willing to, again, dip into those early quarterback or tight end waters if I get to a point mid-late round three and I don't love the options available. But let's face it, on a lot of these home league sites, you are seeing the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson of the world going closer to round two. So, again, the big reason for me wanting to have all those running backs, and again, not that you can't take a CeeDee Lamb or a Puka Nacua or, you know, Malik Nabers in rounds one or two, I'm fine with that. But once you do start to kind of get past, I would say, A.J. Brown, Ladd McConkey, and T. Higgins, you have this mixture of older wide receivers and the Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, you know, kind of vein of things. And then also a bunch of Ohio State studs who unfortunately don't have the world's best quarterback situation, with the exception of Scary Terry, of course. So I don't mind waiting on wide receiver just for a little bit, cementing my running back position. And then, guys, once round five comes along, I am content taking sometimes four or even five wide receivers in a row. The George Pickens, Jameson Williams, Calvin Ridley, Tedrell McMillan's of the world. Again, it does just become a flatter tier between those low-end wide receiver twos all the way up into kind of that low-end wide receiver 3 points. So if I can really lead the first nine rounds with ideally five wide receivers, two or three running backs, maybe an elite quarterback or tight end, I am really happy with those results more times than not.
I love that. B, I know you hate how the league, the owners, have devalued the running back position, but I imagine you're thrilled. Running backs in fantasy football, hey, not devalued, Brian.
Yeah, I wish fantasy was paying them.
Yo, Ian, this has been great, man. Hopefully we can keep you coming back and giving us guidance as we got to go through the waiver wire and everything else throughout the season.
Hey, anytime, fellas, and good luck to all the listeners out there with the home drafts this weekend. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Right,
I
man.
Love it, man.
Care,
I love it. Stop telling people about Travion. I want that to be my secret. So if any of my boys are listening in my leagues,
they're too late.
Travion Henderson sucks.
No, they saw him already.
All right. We had to get some fantasy in because if nothing else, I care about it. We also got to get some golf in because if nothing else, me and Brian dramatically care about it. The Ryder Cup is set. How do we make sense of it? Brendan Porath from the Shotgun Start will join us next. Before we go, though, I'm down at the beach. You know what I could use? A swim spa. It'd be awesome if I could be in the beach and then just chill out in the pool. Maybe my crazy kids would chill out in the pool. That's what these swim spas are, man. They're basically your own little pool. You can heat them up, cool them down, get the jet stream going, get a workout, and now is the time to buy. The Labor Day sale is here at Offenbacher's, and you don't want to miss it. You can save big with huge price reductions on outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. Plus, man, they're giving free financing options. How many places right now can you get free financing? Nowhere. Why stop swimming when the summer ends? Get a swim spa from Offenbacher's. And there's more exciting news. Offenbacher's is now offering saunas. That's right. You can choose an indoor sauna, maybe put in your basement or in a big old closet you don't use. They got outdoor saunas. So if you don't have indoor space, you can have it outside. They also have those infrared ones, which are super dope, get you super hot. You can go check them out in the Annapolis and Herndon showrooms. Make this Labor Day unforgettable. Visit Offenbacher's in Annapolis, Gainesville, Herndon, and Rockville and create the backyard retreat you've always dreamed of. B-Mitch, this might surprise you, but Brendan Porath actually texted me last night to request "Turn Down for What" as his walk-up song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a big Little John guy. Brendan, what's up, dude?
That's absolutely not true. That's absolutely not true. Not a terrible tune, but it's fine. But wouldn't be my choice.
Our friend Brendan Porath, head of content for Fried Egg Golf and co-host of the Shotgun Start podcast. You see him all the time on TV. Shotgun Start now on CBS Sports Network. Dude, I know you've had a busy week. Thank you for making time for us. Ryder Cup picks come down. Keegan doesn't take himself. What do you make of all of it?
I mean, it was an agonizing choice. It was the right choice. I feel sort of terrible for him. He's been one of the 12 best American players this year and would be a pick in any other year in which his name was not also the captain. The irony is he was given that captaincy sort of as a, I don't want to say a make good, but a nice little treat for getting snubbed last time. He got legitimately snubbed in 2023 when they went to Italy. And it was documented on the Netflix show, and sort of like that pain and the snub became more high profile, and there were pictures with it all. Mm-hmm. And the PGA of America was like, all right, why don't we make you the captain? And sort of a, I think a make good really for that. And he was excluded. He's not a social guy with, you know, and the guys were younger. He didn't fall into the age group of a Thomas and a Spieth and Ricky Fowler. He was just older, more of a loner, and he didn't have the sort of the political network to get on the team. And so they give him a captaincy, and that becomes the primary blocker to him getting it this year. So this treat or this make good ends up like what keeps him out of playing. And it's all he's really wanted to do since 2014 was the last time he was on the team. He just means so much to him. He's one of like the sort of a heartbeat and emotional leader, firecracker really in those 2012, 2014 teams. And then he couldn't pick himself. He gets to the situation where too many guys started playing well towards the end of the year, end of the summer, and there were too many better options. And this notion of playing captain just isn't a tenable one in 2025. Being a captain is this massive time suck, massive organizational pressure that it's really challenging. You need to be a lock, a qualifier, a lock, a top five American to do it. And even then, it's not advisable. The Euros would have been celebrating if he decided to play and captain. And so he made the right choice, no matter how painful it was.
But if he goes out there and they win and they have a great showing, they destroy the Europeans, then wouldn't that give him a little bit of some grace? Like he'll feel good about it?
Yeah, I think so, but they can't let the result dictate the process right now. Like, and I think even worse or even riskier than that would be the insane pressure of him playing and playing poorly and then the captaincy going sideways. Like, he's on the course. You got to be setting the afternoon lineups. Remember, they do the double session.
Yeah.
And that's going on. They're setting the lineups while those first four matches are being played, and he can't do that if he's playing. So you're automatically like putting a cap on the amount of matches he plays. He can't do two matches in a day, probably. He just can't. And, you know, maybe the 12th, 11th guy on your team isn't going to be tabbed for that anyways, but why automatically put that cap on someone before they even get to the week? You know, it's too much of a job. And I get it. If he plays and plays well, that would be an incredible story, but I don't think you can let that potential outcome dictate the right process now, a month before.
Talking with our friend Brendan Porath here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can listen to Brendan and Andy on the Shotgun Start podcast. So Keegan, I think, does the admirable thing, probably the right thing. I kind of wanted him to do it just because it would have been nuts.
Yeah.
But what do we think of the 12 that they've picked? Six we knew, the auto qualifiers, and then the six captains picks.
Well, that, you make a good point. Like, PGA of America, for what I understand, was really pushing for him to pick himself. Because at the end of the day, this is like an exhibition. It doesn't mean a ton. Does it? Like, you can't, I guess you could say the Olympic basketball is an exhibition, right? They're not playing for money. But of course, that doesn't mean it's not competitive. It is a 3-day exhibition. It is an entertainment product. It is a booming television business. And the better story, more interesting story, is if he picks himself. And I think the PGA of America was secretly hoping, if not outwardly pushing him to do it.
Yeah, well, until things go wrong.
Right.
They wouldn't
right.
support him after it goes wrong. I promise you that. When he becomes the butt of every joke.
That's true. And think about, like, this isn't any just any home game. It's New York. It's Long Island. They're pretty vicious, even when it's not an adversarial. It's just 150 guys playing a PGA championship.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, a bad Yankees manager or a Knicks coach or a Giants coach, like, and it's going, or Jets, it's going bad. Like, they get all over them. Oh, yeah. And so if he was a captain and started to go bad and he's playing, like, it's not just any home game that's in Wisconsin or Minnesota or something like that. It could have been ugly. And so I think it would have been more entertaining for him to be the captain, but what we ended up with was Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin,
Bryson,
Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, Bryson made it on points, which is kind of amazing. So he made it on points with only, because half his live events don't count, so he made it on like 8 events only.
Damn,
kind of crazy.
So how does that work? Is there any strife with Bryson, or that's all out the way?
No, it's all good. They've done that really since LIV was created. They figure, like, look, we need the 12 best guys, figure out a way. Now, it's not a PGA Tour event, so they're able to do it. Like, President's Cup is owned and operated by the PGA Tour. Those guys can't play that one. PGA of America, I know it's probably confusing. They're different. It's different from the PGA Tour, so they're allowed to bring in LIV guys. European Tour has figured out how to get their LIV guys. You know, John Rahm is going to play for Europe. So there's no real strife or anything. Koepka played last time. Bryson's a unique guy. I don't know that like he gets along with a lot of the Americans on his team, whether they're tour members or live players. Doesn't really matter. He's just kind of a quirky dude.
Yeah,
but,
very much.
They'll figure out a partnership for him and let him play. And he should have been on the team. No question that. But we have, like with these picks, Keegan would have been a compelling option because we've kind of lost some of the characters on the American side. Like, Spieth isn't in it. Brooks Koepka wasn't good enough. Ricky Fowler wasn't good enough. Phil Mickelson is off the stage. Tiger is off the stage. And that was always going to happen. But this had always been, Best Page is, you know, the biggest Ryder Cup ever because it's New York. The Ryder Cup is big business now. They had targeted this one for years. When it was going to be 24 before the pandemic hit. Now it's 25. But they had been targeting this one. It's going to be the biggest and best ever. It was always supposed to be Phil's captaincy. Mm. Now, think about that, the Long Island crowds and Phil just whipping him up. He lit that on fire, not a chance to do it. And so we've lost a little bit of the American characters involved with this team. That said, it's still the 12th best. It's the best outcome given form and the seasons they've had. Mm.
Go ahead, B.
Who you think is favorite? What side?
The Americans are, right. For sure. They're absolutely...
I think
favored.
The Euros are good, dude.
They're great. They're totally locked in. But the Ryder Cup, the dirty little secret of the Ryder Cup, it hasn't really been competitive since 2012, since Medina in Chicago when they knocked us off at home. And the home advantage is substantial. It's setting up the course. It's the crowd. For whatever reason, they haven't really been close Ryder Cups in over a decade now. And so – being at home, they're absolutely favored. That said, you know, Rory McIlroy said the hardest thing to do in golf, one of the great achievements he has left or he wants to do in his career is win another away Ryder Cup. And they're set up as well as you possibly could. It's a continuity thing. They have the same captain as last time, same captaincy, assistant captaincy group. They are going to come with probably the exact same roster as 2023, substituting one Højgaard twin for another Højgaard twin, so it's essentially the same 12 guys. And yeah, they're as set up as they could be. They're playing well, more or less. Most of them are playing well, and yeah, they're set up to knock them off for sure.
I remember I don't know how long ago this was, but didn't like Boo Weekly have this like epic Ryder Cup run when he was? I mean, I don't remember how long ago that was, maybe 10 years ago or something. But Boo Weekly was hardly like a household name and then had this epic Ryder Cup run that really vaulted him into like a different category. Is there somebody you think that could do that this year? I kind of think Ben Griffin might be the crazy, ballsy guy that could like emerge.
He would probably be the one if there is a candidate. Boo Weekly, I think that was 08, Valhalla Ryder Cup. Yeah. They brought those like good old Kentucky boys, him and J.B. Holmes. He was like riding his driver like a horse off the tee box of Valhalla, doing all this goofy stuff. And then you had these like proper British guys looking at him like offended that he was acting out.
Yeah, he did the Happy Gilmore.
Yes, riding the bull. And it's like Ian Poulter was all pissed off. But I think Griffin would be the one candidate. It's kind of an incredible story. He had quit golf and was going into being a mortgage officer like 4 years ago.
Wow.
You know, last time a Ryder Cup was at home in the U.S., he had given up on golf and writing mortgages, and now he's one of the 12 best Americans on the team. I'm not familiar with this, but apparently he's big on TikTok with all the youth. So maybe he is a guy that pops off the page. He creatined overdosed, he said.
B, have you heard that story?
He what?
Yeah, tell B-Mitch that story, dude.
So at Baltimore, Kays Valley, 2 weeks ago, he started with like a triple or quadruple bogey, four-putted from 4 feet, then a double, and then a bogey. He was like six over through his first three holes, and he claimed he overdosed on creatine, like on the first hole. Like he got a snowball of creatine in his shake. He's been big on creatine. He credits it with like him getting much better at golf again this year. And he said he overdosed. Like, no, we've had a bunch of gym guys and trainers like, that's not possible. You can't
do that. Yeah, overdose on it.
No, I think he was just dehydrated and shaky. He definitely was messed up because he made 10 birdies after going eight over through his first three. But yes, that made him pretty popular amongst like the gym guys and added a little bit to his profile. So he could be the guy that pops for the American.
Keep talking about all that creative. He might get popped. He may think he's doing something else.
I don't know why this is personal. I've never met the guy or anything. I'm really glad Cam Young got in. I know he's a New York guy. Like the way he hits the ball a mile, I imagine he's just a good setup for Bethpage, right?
He better be straight.
He's pretty straight. He's a great course fit. He hammers the ball. He's from New York. He's from Mets. They tried to say some English media guy got confused, thought he was from the Bronx because he went to Fordham Prep. He's like, he grew up in like the nicest country club.
He's like from Westchester.
Definitely not from the Bronx. Yes, not from the Bronx. But he is a New Yorker, has played Bethpage a ton, won a junior, set like records there when he was a junior. And a super good course fit. He crushes the ball, which is what you want big boppers for Bethpage. The greens aren't that interesting. You know, putting sort of, you know, equalized there. The other thing is like Europe players, there used to be a real distinction between the games, right? The Euros were kind of straight and shorter and played links golf and were more creative and would shape shots, and Americans were just power, and they would just hammer the ball. Well, that's like, it's all sort of consolidated. Everybody's the same. That's how you succeed in golf, is you hammer the ball. Yep. And the Euros are just as long and powerful as the Americans. You talk about Rory McIlroy, Ludwig, Hovland, people like that. It's all a power game. And so that sort of distinction between preferred style or play doesn't really exist anymore. And so they're just as well suited. Most of their players are just as well suited to Bethpage as ours are, but few are better suited than Cameron Young. He should be, the guy's a dial tone. I mean, he's not going to wow you with any of his commentary, and he's probably not going to incite any drama. that's right. He's just deadpan guy all the time, but his game is exciting, so he's not going to be in there mixing it up or anything, but he does hit it a long way, and he should perform. He's been playing really well.
All right.
BP, thanks for the time, man. I know you're going to be busy. We'll be listening to Shotgun Start.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
That's our friend Brendan Porath. Give him a follow, at Brendan Porath, P-O-R-A-T-H. Really, really good golf content from the Friday Egg Shotgun Start crew. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is giving you a reason to lock into college football season early. I watched a lot of it last night. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. That's right, bet $5 on any bet. And if you win, you'll walk away with $300 in bonus bets to use all over the app. You can use those bonus bets on week one lines, Heisman futures, over and unders, player props, whatever you've got circled on the college football calendar. FanDuel is easy to use, safe, and when you win, you get paid instantly. No waiting around, no hassle, just the money straight in your account. So if you got a team, a take, or a gut feeling before kickoff, now's the time to back it. Just head to FanDuel.com/Brian and sign up to get started. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B-Mitch and Finley. And you know the rules. You can't make fun of our family, but we can make fun of our family.
Yes.
And we don't really know how he landed here. Maybe it was a stork. But somehow, White Brian joined our family at some point. I don't know. 4 months ago? 2 years ago? Yeah. White Brian, how long you been with us, bud?
Since November, I think. December.
Okay. Hell, he don't know, so we don't have to know.
Yeah. He's been around. So White Brian is our guy. He's in charge of the video, except when he isn't, which is frequently. And unfortunately, White Brian was concussed. White Brian's been on the
DL,
the blue medical tent for a week. White Brian, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I went down to Bethany Beach for my home league fantasy draft, like we do every year.
Oh, you were with the boys. Okay, I see now.
And I
Rose doesn't tolerate this stuff, B.
Got down to the beach on Thursday. Apparently, there's a hurricane there on Wednesday. So, had some drinks, decided to go swimming. Bad idea.
Sounds like another guy on this show.
That's a legit bad. I at least know. Shout out to my friend Scott Crass. My boy Yuri got married many years ago. I want to say it was Hurricane Sandy hit the Connecticut coast.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Connecticut at the wedding, and I got drunk and wanted to go swimming in the ocean. And my boy Scotty Too Hotty was like, absolutely not. Respect the ocean. Hurricanes are incredibly strong. So I did not go, Brian.
Swim in the water and then almost didn't make it.
Yeah, that was a different drunk incident. But yes, that did occur. All right, so White Brian, you get drunk. You decide you want to go swimming in a hurricane?
Yeah, I did not respect the ocean. Got stuck in a rip current. Somehow got out of it. Issue was I got close enough to shore that when a wave crashed on me, my head crashed on the ocean floor a couple times. Thought it was fine.
On like the hard sand or the soft sand up at the, like where it meets the shore?
The hard sand. It was painful. Thought it was fine though. Went back to the house, had a couple of drinks, and then I landed on my nose.
So let me ask you a question.
What
are you allowed to go on these trips anymore?
Yeah, I'm allowed.
I don't know. Did you lie? Did you tell her what really happened?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going on those trips anymore.
What do you mean you landed on your nose? So you were drunk, swimming, got wrecked on the bottom of the ocean, came back to the house, kept drinking. When and how did you land on your nose?
My legs stopped working at some point, and I ate the floor with my nose.
He fell face first.
I fell face first onto my nose. And it was good my nose caught the brunt of it because it may have been a worse concussion had I not broken my nose.
So your nose is broken. How's he look, B? I'm not there to see it.
You can see he had like some little, he looked like he could have been a raccoon a few days ago.
The swelling has gone down. It was really bad.
You had the little, looked like it was like bruised right under here.
Yeah, the top of the nose was completely black, and I had a pretty bad black eye. Yeah.
How are you feeling now?
90%.
Now, are you sensitive to like light and sound in the post-concussion world?
I wore sunglasses every day until today.
Okay.
When I saw him walk in, I thought I saw a ghost. Seriously. I didn't think he was coming back this week.
White Brian, how is someone supposed to recuperate from a concussion? Just quiet and take it easy?
Yeah.
How helpful is it then that Jeff is probably constantly shoving TikToks and Instagram reels in your face of ladies twerking and conspiracy theories?
Well, I thought about coming in yesterday, and then I thought about that. I decided to take another day.
All right. There it is. White Brian's back. You feeling okay?
Yeah, I'll be good.
All right, bud.
Hey, Brian, just remember I said something about not going on them trips again. when next one that comes up, just let me know that if you get any little backlash.
Yeah, backlash is coming.
Oh, it's coming.
I don't think folks, you should go on that trip. Last time you went, you almost died.
Why, Brian, I've been married longer than you. I successfully swam across the channel, if anybody's ever been to Harpoon Hannah's in Fenwick Island. I made it across, but I had to cling to a bridge for dear life for about 5 minutes to catch my breath, and I skipped that boys' trip the next year. So I'm just saying, decide what you want to do, man.
Hey, he didn't skip it. He was told he couldn't skip it. He couldn't go.
B, do you remember how cut up all my arms were because I had to cling to the bridge and all the barnacles and
You're
stuff?
You're a fool, dog. What you are.
I am a fool, but made it through. Never looked back. The mystery of White Brian's injury has been solved. Phone lines are open. We also, Bobby Belt from Dallas is going to join us at 1:30 to give us the perspective, boots on the ground. But up next, he's an NFL legend. You get to ask him anything you want. It's Ask B. Mitch Anything, 800-636-1067.